Okay.
And that they were getting ready to do all her checks to make sure that she's cleared for surgery. And she mentioned some issues that she's been having, and so they did a echocardiogram and found that she has pretty bad aortic heart valve stenosis, which
Oh.
is narrowing of the heart valves as well as calcification. So we don't know just how bad things are with that and what they may or may not be able to do for her exactly. She will be having some appointments, but she's waiting to hear back from a cardiologist as to when she will be having appointments to see if and what they will.
Okay. All right. So let's pray for Ashley's mom, postponing the shoulder surgery because of some heart complications. Let's pray that they'll be able to get that addressed. So. All right. Anyone else? Thought I saw another hand, possibly. Oh, yes. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Very good. And is James traveling back today? Okay, all right, yeah, we'll pray for him. And he's going out to Great Bend to help take care of things with his dad's estate and things. So be in prayer for him, and we'll be able to make it back safely. All right, yes, sir, Roger. Okay. Okay. Yes, okay. So the Geyers, Josh and Jamie, are going to a school in North Dakota. So that's a little bit of a ways away. And so they're seeking God's will for their own children. So that's a very important trip for them. We'll pray God will give them safety and give them wisdom. So be good. All right. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. That is praising the Lord for little Julia. So that's good. Good. God is good. Bringing new life into the world. It's always a miracle. It really is. So, and we're all here because of that miracle. So, each and every one of us. Amazing. So, all right. Yes, Angela? Okay, so we'll pray for the Coburnats. We'll provide for them. Yes, Jim. Oh, no. Wow. Okay, so praying for Jan's grandson, Mason. He needs the Lord, so maybe this will be the very thing that would stir his heart to seek after Jesus. So I pray for Mason, his salvation. So. All right. Start trial again. Oh. Okay. Okay. Wow. All right, so. Yeah. Oh. Pray for the Bergdahl family with the death this past week, and sorry for that, yeah, celebration, funeral. So praise the Lord that he knew the Lord. That's great, great, great hope. So, yes, Ashley. Okay. All right. So pray for a niece of Ashley, Hannah, dealing with trying to get custody of her children. So well, that's very, very important to her. So. Okay. Anyone else? Any other needs or burdens to be in prayer for? Yes, sir. Little Matt. Okay. Okay. All right. So Annie's in Michigan this week. Pray the Lord will give him a good week. Everything's kind of getting everything going, getting into a flow and rhythm, and they'll see some real fruit that would encourage them throughout this. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right. So she'll be able to fulfill her responsibilities. So that sounds like a prayer Solomon prayed once. So sounds good. So. All right. Very good. Anyone else? Speaking of jail, appreciate you praying for me as we go in to give the gospel this afternoon. So that will go well. And also have an opportunity to meet with that those guys will come back. We had a couple trust the Lord a couple weeks ago, and I did get permission from. It's kind of interesting that did not know that at the jail they were changing majors, and so the one that we've been working with and had been very open, receptive, that he is stepping down, he's already taken another job, I guess. So that was kind of like, oh well. So it was nice to meet the new Major Tyler, and he is seemed very receptive. And to what we're doing. In fact, I had come to ask for an additional time, a time slot that we could utilize to when we have someone who trusts the Lord, that we could actually go in and do discipleship with them one-on-one. And so he said yes. So here we go. So I was like, great. Get them while they're still fresh and they don't know what's going on, you know. Oh yeah, and by the way, we'd like to have coffee and But it's good. So yeah, praise the Lord for opening up that door and just possibilities there for us to be able to continue to make a difference in people's lives there. So. All right. Anyone else? Prayer requests or praise from this past week? I see that hand. Okay, all right, definitely want to pray for Coburnet kids, and the Lord will help them. Christopher's kind of had it tough. Life's rough, poor little kids. So, but the Lord's watching over him, so we'll continue to pray. All right, anyone else? Yes, Charlie. Okay, all right. Yes, all right. So Charlotte's asking prayer for Becky. This is her daughter-in-law and Dale's daughter, yeah. So, so just pray for her. This is an opportunity to visit, and she has cancer, so we'll pray in later stages. So pray that that visit would be a blessing. So. Yes, Elsa. Oh.
So, but teaching to really like the teaching itself, it has continually really centered called disorganized the school. So,
Huh.
and it's not only her observation, she is a model
Hmm.
teacher.
Okay. Okay, very good. I appreciate the update. And here on Isabella's continue to pray for her and her new job and the continued teaching aspect and the challenges to overcome those as well. So, yes. Oh. Okay, yes. Very neat, very neat. All right, well, so praise the Lord. Grace is in the States, and they are traveling. So, new station. So, I pray that it goes smoothly. So, yes, sir, Roger. Oh, okay, let's pray for Linda. Just having pain, and will give grace there. So, need to hear that. Yes, sir, Kim. Oh, okay. She's in Lee Bell's in hospital with pain. And let's pray for Brenda Lawrence. She is went to visit her last night, and she's in the hospital in Nevada with pneumonia. So she looked pretty good and everything, but she's been in there. This is the second time within the last 2 or 3 months, so that's not a good sign. So just God will hold her up, and that it'll clear out, and they'll be able to lower the oxygen that they're giving her, and so. Just may God do a work for her. So. All right, anyone else? All right, we are going to have a chance to pray in just a little bit, Lord willing. So, but until that time, let's take our Bibles, and we're going to combine prayer and finances. So we're going to pray for money. Okay, no, it's not. I'm just teasing. All right, Matthew 6. Nope, if you came for a good lesson on biblical principles of finance, I am sorry to disappoint. But we will try to satiate your soul with something else here today. I'm using a handy devotional book that I really like on prayer, kind of providing some guidance for our thoughts here. So if you hear anything good today, it wasn't me. So, but some neat thoughts here as we're asking the Lord to teach us how to pray. So we're looking at the instruction of Jesus in prayer, and I've really been encouraged by it. We just want to look at the model prayer. You know, it's interesting, if you have a teacher, they know the power of example. You know, how many times if you're going to tell them to do something, if you're going to teach them a math problem, you're going to work the problem for them. And if you're going to teach them to, you know, whatever it might be, if you're going to teach them to fish and to cast, you're going to say, you don't give the pole to them. You say, give me that pole. Let me show you how it's done. And same thing with Jesus Christ. When they came to him, and it's also in the context of Luke, within the context of when they asked him to pray. So he gives this teaching twice in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, as well as in Luke chapter 11. And Jesus gave them the very words to pray. And so not meaning that we should pray just these words, and that's all that we can pray, and turn this into a rote, something that's just to repeat after these words, as if there's some sort of magical incantation if we just say these things. And but we ought to know these words. So why don't we read them together, just as if we might be saying them together? You may not have your Bible, but you might be able to say them. So, I'll read the first line and join me on Our Father, okay? All right, now everybody wants to know where I know. Matthew 6, good, I'm glad. Matthew 6, verse 9. Matthew 6, verse 9, that's good. I'm going to make sure everybody gets a chance to get there. That's good. And I think that we have within these words a form for prayer that really has the life of the Lord Jesus. The breath of His life is breathed through these words. This is His prayer life, His concerns laid right out for us. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right. As we kind of begin to look at this, just breaking it down, and we're not going to spend a ton of time, but just looking at each phrase, he starts off with, "Our Father, which art in heaven." If we were to be taught this type of prayer and this kind of address, you have to come to Jesus Christ. When Moses addressed God, he didn't call him our Father. He didn't say my Father. When David prayed to God, he did not say my Father. When Solomon prayed, when Daniel prayed, when Nehemiah prayed, all the saints of the Old Testament never rose to this level of courage, of intimacy. It took the Son of God to come down to us and to share with us His life and His address of God Almighty. And He says, when you pray, you get to have this special address. Call Him your Father. So beautiful. This really does capture the mystery of redemption. He has come to deliver us from the curse so that we might be the children of God. This captures the element of regeneration in which we are taken from being dead in our sins to now being made alive, but not just being made alive, it's a new birth. God is now our Father. We have a relationship. His seed is within us in the eternal Word of God. These words, in some sense, are the key to the whole prayer. If you can understand God as your Father, it begins to open up to you everything in regards to prayer. In some sense, my devotional book says, it takes a lifetime to study them. This whole idea, these words of our Father which art in heaven. And he says, and it will take an eternity to fully understand them. I thought that was good. We are going to live our entire lives learning more and more and more what it means for God to love us like a father. And he cares for us. He's waiting to hear our cry. He wants us to come. It is the knowledge of God as our Father and His love for us that is the very first lesson in prayer. It's the most simple thing. That when we have turned our eyes towards God and we call Him Abba, Father, because the Spirit of Christ is within us and we have new life. It is also the highest and greatest lesson of prayer. It encompasses everything that we will ever learn about prayer in this understanding of who God is. It is a personal relationship with the living God. You know Him. You walk with Him. You stand in His presence. He speaks to you. When you go to God as your Father, you are reminded of His tenderness, of His pity, His patience, His readiness to forgive and restore, His willingness to help and to hear. Ultimately, to say our Father is the whole joy of prayer before God. Oh, may God help us to understand and to recognize who this God is. The God who is in heaven is our Father. Then he says, hallowed be thy name. Now let's notice this real quick. There's some petitions here. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You see a repeating word there? Thy. Where does prayer's focus begin with and start with? It starts with God Almighty. Now listen to the others. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. All right, through my inflection, you caught the theme word there, us. All right, very good. So here, this is the pattern that Jesus is setting forth. Here's God and His concerns, and then here's our concerns. And one has a priority over the other. And that's an important lesson from this prayer. It doesn't mean that we cannot rush into the presence of God in time of need and say, God, this is what I need. Think of Nehemiah when the king asked him, what do you want? And he said, I made my prayer to the Lord. He had this quick, momentary prayer that was as spontaneous as the breath of his mouth. God, help me. That's not a problem with that. But in regards to our heart's desires and how we pray, we must follow this model if we're ever going to grow and learn what prayer is all about. The Father's concerns must be first. In fact, the Father's desires, His interest, His will must be all. That's not just, we're not talking about just making it, okay, I got to get this out of the way so I can get to my things. No, His concerns, His name, His kingdom, His will is everything for me. So that if I understand my needs and desires correctly, those are subsidiary within the understanding of His will, His kingdom, and His name. There's an aspect to which we must learn, as our author here puts it, the sooner I learn to forget myself, I love that, forget myself in the desire that He may be glorified, the richer will the blessing be that prayer will bring to myself. He's saying, you will be greatly blessed if you will learn, when you come to prayer, it's not about me at all. I am here because of God. And I've learned that my overarching desire is that He would be glorified. You know that if you sacrifice and lay anything on the altar to God, you never lose it? Think about that. Is that true? If you sacrifice yourself and you lay your entire life on the altar and lose it for Christ's sake, do you lose it? Or do you find it? It really is in this understanding that when we would come to God concerned about His needs, He will provide for you. He will take care of you. We've got to get to our heart aligned and in tune with the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are two kinds of petitionary prayers. One is personal. I'm praying for myself. And the other is what we call intercessory prayer, in which I am praying for others. And the reality is we must learn to become very... If God's concerns become very much important to us and begin to dominate our lives, we will begin to spend more and more time in intercessory prayer. Now, a little child may come and ask a father of whatever it needs. But after a while, it gets a little older and it realizes, can I have two? Sister needs one too. give her one too. And that's really sweet. But you think about a grown adult son or daughter that now is in charge of the family business. And they come to the father and say, Father, we need some of these resources here so that we can accomplish this over here. And their concern is about advancing the kingdom or the work of their father. They can ask large requests, and they will receive them because it's for the Father and for His interests and desires. And so we must soon learn this principle. Thy name, Thy kingdom, Thy will. He says, hallowed be Thy name. Interestingly enough, God has revealed a name to us. He is a Father. That's a title and name for God. And yet He's saying, hallowed be Thy name. And so there's an element of God's and who he is. He ought to be exalted as the most supreme, the only one. Scripture says, I will hallow my great name, which ye have profaned. Now, do we have a role to sanctify the name of the Lord? Yes, we do. But there's an aspect to it. Our role can only be accomplished as God is doing his role. His foundational purpose is the only thing that carries us forward on our purpose. So we have to understand, it is God alone, can we say it in that sense, that is purposing to hallow his name. That's why we come in prayer and say, God, would you make your name great in the world? Would you help people to see who you really are? Are you not burdened that the person who has no desire for God, no interest? We were at KRI yesterday, and one of the kids, they were an older teenager, was observing us, and they made a comment basically along the lines. It was kind of this idea, man, I'm glad I'm not them. I couldn't stand this element of what they were, you know, they're seeing. And I'm thinking, oh, that's really sad. Sad that there is an aspect that the sacrifice and the dedication to the Lord, it was too much for them. And I said, I'd rather not be them. In my mind, I'm thinking, but you don't know all the blessings that we have. We're serving the Lord, and there are some sacrifices to be made, but I don't want to be you with all the heartache of sin that's going to come into your life. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Oh, it burdens me. If they just knew who God was, they would want him. I'm not saying that there's an aspect of man is sinful. I understand that. There's rejection of God. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. That's the sinful aspect. But there's an aspect that we're always believing a lie about him. We're always, our eyes are darkened to the truth of who God is. God is glorious. And any thought that is not worthy of God is not true about God. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say? His name is glorious. His name is holy. And it ought to come with a heart and burden that says, man, this world doesn't know who God is. They go on in blindness to the truth. They stumble about the wickedness and they have no solutions. You hear our politicians talk and they say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And you're like, we know what the answer is. You can hear that in family members. You can see that with neighbors. Like, oh, that they would understand. May God sanctify his name. May God's presence in the world be known. His divine power, his hidden glory, his love shown on the cross. May his name be glorified. Thy kingdom come. I'm trying to figure out, is it 3 minutes after 12? Is that right? Okay, I'll make sure. I don't have my watch on me. I don't have my phone on me, so I've got to rely on, I can get those hands mixed up, as you know. So, all right, I want to, I don't even need to know what was said, but, all right, thy kingdom come. Did you know that our Father has a glorious name, and he has a kingdom because he's a king? And really, if you are a son, a child of the king, and you are heir to the kingdom of your father, then you could have no greater desire. There's no greater passion that begin to consume your life than that the kingdom of your father would come. In fact, when there's a time of war or danger, and that kingdom is being attacked, loyal sons think of nothing else. And yet here we are in the enemy's territory. And we're asking, we're behind enemy lines. And we're saying, dear Father, extend your kingdom to here. Send your troops. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, bring salvation. Send forth your Holy Spirit. Expand your kingdom. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We think about resigning ourselves to the will of God. Sometimes that happens when something bad is happening. We're going through some suffering. We're like, well, the Lord's will be done. Well, that's a good thing. That's a sanctified response in difficulty. But I don't want us to think only of God's will as being something that's sorrowful and painful. He says, what does he say? Let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Wait a second. Is there any pain, suffering, and sorrow in heaven? It's all joy and happiness. In fact, the only thing that's done in heaven is the will of the Father. Everyone is joyfully doing it. In fact, that's the glory of heaven, that God is getting his way in everything. So why in the world is it so hard for me to submit to his will? That's heaven on earth. You begin to pray for God's will to be done on earth, and you begin to beg him to do that. You know, it's awful hard to resist his promptings when you're praying for his will to be done. He says, let's start with you. And he starts directing me in his path. And that is a great joy. Oh, yes, there's sacrifices to be had, but that's a glory to be had if God calls us to give up anything for our Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, in an adoring spirit, may God bring us to submission and ready obedience. Wherever, I love this statement. It says, wherever faith has accepted the Father's love, obedience accepts the Father's will. Isn't that beautiful? Wherever faith has accepted the Father's love, obedience accepts the Father's will. If you know that your God loves you as a father, you'll do what he says. But it starts with this correct understanding of who God is. It opens everything else. And then, give us this day our daily bread. When you have yielded yourself and your passion is the name and the kingdom and the will of God, you will have full liberty before God to ask for your daily bread. Whatever you need. You won't come in with apprehension about that. You will have absolute confidence that God will give those things to you. It's not a prayer of hope so and timidity. It's a prayer of assurance and dependence. A master cares for the food of his servant. The general takes the charge of his soldiers to make sure that they are fed. And a father does the same for his children. Would not God do more and so much more for us? He says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. I love this statement here. It says, bread is the first need of the body, so forgiveness for the soul. You say, what does my body need? It needs fuel. What do I need? What's my soul and my spiritual walk need? You need forgiveness. Well, I haven't sinned this week. You need forgiveness. That is the entire relationship to God. If we're going to have any dealing with God Almighty, we need Him to forgive us. Solomon says, when there's any prayer, hear thou from heaven and forgive. That's where he starts. Because every person who lifts their eyes towards God is in need of personal forgiveness every time they come. Did you know that God makes a provision for your body? Just what your body needs, God has bread to supply it. And you say, yeah, I've experienced that all my life. If God makes provision for the body, He makes a provision as well for forgiveness. The provision is just as sure, even though you and I can't see it. We take it by faith. God has provided His own Son. We are made children so that we can have right of access. But that access is owed to the precious blood that has won forgiveness for us. Oh, many times I hear this a lot in the jail. Someone will say, "I know, I think God's forgiven me," or something like that, "but I just need to forgive myself." I want to let you know, that's psychobabble, okay? There's nothing in the Bible anywhere about forgiving yourself. What you must do is learn to accept by faith that God has forgiven you. And really, it comes down to a lack of faith and trusting in God. Say, God, when God says, "I will forgive you," you have to walk by faith. There's an aspect that only what is really confessed is really forgiven. Now, we ought to be very careful. When you read the prayers of Ezra and Nehemiah and Daniel, if you want to read those prayers, do you know what chapter they're in? They're all in chapter 9. Ezra 9, Nehemiah 9, Daniel 9. You want to get some great prayers that will of confession of sin. That's the main focus of what's going on. Now, they focus on God and that type of thing, but they're here to confess what they've done. You'll see what God is looking for and in terms of us coming and saying the same thing about our sins towards God. And it's through forgiveness that we ultimately enter the door into the Father's love, into all the privileges of heaven. Now he says here, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." So you can say, this is the whole relationship towards God. God, please forgive me. Do you know that the whole relationship you have with other people is this? Forgiving other people. Are you serious? Yeah. Just like you need forgiveness from God, everybody else around you is going to be sinning against you. Everybody. So it shouldn't surprise us that we feel like so-and-so did us wrong. That wasn't right. I get shocked. I've got to forgive somebody. Not till they apologize first. We must forgive. It is demanded. If you have experienced the Father love and His forgiveness, then you have the ability by God's grace to forgive others. And lastly, he says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," or Satan himself, the evil one. Just as we need bread and we need forgiveness, we need protection. There's a hostile enemy. There is horrible evil out there. We need God to, by His love, to keep us. He is a providing God. He is a pardoning God. He is a protecting God. And when we find this truth, we find that the Father... I'm going to put it this way. This is such beautiful... I wish I had such turn of phrase like this. The Father... All right, this is the prayer in terms, this is the principle, I should put it that way. So it doesn't even have a verb. The Father all to the child. The Father all for the child. That right there summarizes this prayer. When the Father becomes all to you, the Father will be all for you. Everything that you need. He will protect you. And so, may God help us. Where it begins is where prayer ends. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. God is all in all to us. And that is where true prayer is. That's the lesson. It's not just teach us how to pray. He's teaching us how to walk with God so that God becomes greater and greater, of more importance in my mind and my heart. And the more God is all to me, the more I will see in prayer. More blessing, more of God's grace, more answers. I won't shrink away from that place, that secret place. I will find it as the one needful thing in my life. May God help us. to live according, to pray according to this model prayer. We're going to spend the last 5 minutes here. I encourage you, if you want to, I don't want to put any pressure on you to join someone else, but if you want to join someone else, you can. But I encourage you, we just have about 5 minutes, so maybe you just want to pray right where you are. Pray for some of these requests. Pray for others. Answer God in what He's heard for you today. We want to learn how to pray. No better way to do it than praying.